She's gotten me through changes, good, good changes. She's gotten me through changes, good, good changes.
There's no change in her
now. Wow, I feel like
there's no change in her.
To CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Radio Show. And that was the Archies. Coming up right now, the Art Woods, featuring Art Wood, brother of Ron Wood from the Faces, the Rolling Stones, and the Birds, the B-I-R-D-S. Coming up a bit later on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show, an interview with Chris Murphy from the rock and roll band Sloan, who kind of has a connection to Art Wood, I think, because, well, Art Wood's brother, of course, is Ronnie Wood, who played in the Stones, and the Stones did this unannounced show a few years ago when Danko Jones opened for them. This was at the Palais Royal, and Sloan actually recorded a live album there, or at least did some sort of stuff at the Palais Royal in Toronto. So I guess there kind of is an Art Wood Chris Murphy connection, and right now the Art Woods, and then Chris Murphy coming up in a bit on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show on CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver.
la va d'ailleurs. Pour les jeunes s'habiller, il n'y a rien de meilleur. Moi qui chante et qui ai les cheveux longs, c'est parce que j'aime ça, je m'en fous de toute façon. Ça n'a peut-être pas l'air bien distingué. Après tout, vous n'avez qu'à vous habituer. Jeunes sortent trop souvent. Ils restaient chez eux, ça c'était de leur temps. Aujourd'hui les jeunes ont bien évolué. Salut les copains, allons tous danser. Ne vous laissez pas trop influencer. Laissez parler vos parents, allez vous des chemises à pois et des cravates à fleurs. Pour les jeunes s'habiller, il n'y a rien de meilleur. Qui chante et qui ait les cheveux longs, c'est parce que j'aime ça et je m'en fous de toute façon. Ça n'a peut-être pas l'air bien distingué. Après tout, vous n'avez qu'à vous habituer.
Une fille qui chante comme une danseuse, danse comme une chanteuse, court comme un canard, vole comme un placard, parle comme un cuistot, marche comme un magnum de Bordeaux. À quel tableau, super girl, ma super girl. Comme un teuton, saute comme un mouton, chauffe comme un dragon, hurle comme un démon, griffe comme une sorcière, fume comme une débusinière. À quelle panthère, super girl, ma super girl, super girl, ma super girl. Une fille qui roule comme un carré, nage comme un pavé, raide comme une soutane, mange comme une montagne, crache comme un dentier, gratte comme un wagon d'araignée. À quel chantier, super girl, ma super girl, super girl, ma super girl, super girl, ma super girl.
À tous ces gens. ça fait le contraire. Comment tous les satisfaire? J'en ai assez. Ah oui, j'en ai assez. Et je dois dire à tous ces gens, laissez-moi faire.
Listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Dehuman Serviette Radio Show. And you just heard there a little bit of Les Dabsters. And before that, they were from Quebec. Before that, Les Fleurs de Pavot from France. And before that, Les Miserables from Quebec. And before that, Eric et les Gamins from Quebec. And all these Quebecois groups are from the 1960s. And we began the show with the Archies Into the Art Woods. And we are waiting here for Chris Murphy from the rock and roll band Sloan, who's going to be dropping by the Nardwuar Dehuman Serviette radio show. So I thought I'd continue on with this Ontario-Quebec connection via France with another band. I mean, my pronunciations of bands are pretty damn bad, but here's a band from France that I really have no way of pronouncing at all, even badly. Bazoi Zipiquinozo Group. But it's one of the most amazing tunes I have ever heard in my life. Maybe?
Oui. Avec regret, j'aimerais sucer le sang malheureux.
Les jours s'entassent et le temps passe. Aujourd'hui ressemble à demain, mais il me faut chercher en vain. L'oubli me fige, le temps m'oblige à chercher plus loin d'autres yeux, à brûler enfin tous les feux, à croire en l'illusion des baisers sans passion, sous prétexte qu'un jour je connaîtrai l'amour, à croire en la vertu de l'attente qui tue. Oh oui, le temps m'oblige à refuser la vie. Et qu'on me défend de crier sans raison, pour l'amour de crier, de lancer des défis au silence figé. On me défend l'espoir de vivre dans l'instant, sous prétexte qu'un soir je connaîtrai l'amour. Je ne crois pas au jour qui vient, je veux épuiser aujourd'hui.
J'avais pas vu ma brosse à dents. Si on est lundi aujourd'hui. Ah, pour demain, j'ai un devoir d'anglais. J'aimerais bien avoir Paul McCartney pour m'aider. Mettre un disque pour embêter les voisins qui rompent toute la journée. Quelque chose comme un bon Elvis Presley. Oh, mais c'est vrai, celui-là, il en est resté. Un peu d'eau sur la figure pour me réveiller. Le dodo, c'est terminé. Je suis presque prête et ça va beaucoup mieux. Je mets mon Shetland rouge ou bien mon Shetland bleu? Mon Shetland rouge? Mon Shetland bleu? Mon Shetland bleu? Mon Shetland bleu? Mon Shetland bleu?
Les jeunes d'aujourd'hui aiment bien vivre leur vie. Ils s'allient à leur façon et ils ont bien raison. C'est pourquoi on essaie de les changer. On leur donne des idées.
idées. Quelques-uns ont les cheveux longs, ils n'ont peut-être pas toujours raison. Ils aiment vivre de cette façon, et ils ont bien raison.
Still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. In honor of Chris Murphy of Sloan coming out to my radio show today, he should be here shortly, we are playing a whole bunch of French-Canadian 60s Quebecois rockers and some rockers also from England, and also some rockers from France. That last cut you just heard there was Norman Franchek with I Study My Grec. And now the connection to Chris Murphy of Sloan is this. That song was also covered by an amazing band from Montreal called Platon et les Caves, featuring Bobby Beaton, who used to be in the Gruesomes, one of the few bands that used to tour down to Halifax. So many bands ignored Halifax, except the Og crew, good old Jerry, Ray Kondo, and the Gruesomes. And of course, Bobby Beaton later surfaced in the Kingpins. He withdrew from the Kingpins, but we'll always remember him for Platon Le Cave, who barely have anything out. But that was the original version of the song that they cover, by Norman Franchet. Before that, we heard Les Talamades, and also from France, we heard Jacqueline Reb, and then we heard Les Loups, who are from Canada. And before that, we began with that bizarre song with those great dog noises and also some good farm animal noises, Bazal and sorry about my pronunciation. So coming up right now, and some more rock on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show of the French persuasion, and then hopefully Chris Murphy of
pas crier. Tu laisses les autres te faire la façon. Tu sais que dans la vie il y a aussi les ennuis. Je n'ai plus envie que tu portes mon nom. Écoute-moi bien, je ne peux plus rien, car tu n'es pas sincère.
Sincère? Toi? Oh non!
Parle plus sur ce temps. Ce n'est pas une façon. Faire attention. Tu n'es plus la même. Tu as beaucoup changé. Alors, écoute-moi bien. Je ne peux plus rien, car tu n'es pas sincère.
Sincère? Toi? Oh non!
Tous les droits, mais tu vas savoir ma pensée. Je ne veux plus te garder, car tu n'es pas sincère,
car tu n'es pas sincère.
Souvenir, la vie est ce soir-là à la danse, elle voulait le rencontrer. De son plus beau complet, il s'était habillé. Sûr que tous les regards se tourneraient vers lui. Une d'entre elles lui servait un sourire mignon. Lui demande une danse, mais lui perd son pantalon. Yeah. Demoiselles. Et essaie par tous les moyens de s'excuser auprès d'elle, qui dit que malgré tout, il mérite une paire de bretelles.
Et je tiens ferme l'œil sur ma femme. ferme, tu éclaires. Je sais que ça te plaît de me voir t'arrêter, te dire à bas les pattes d'un air très décidé. Je tiens ferme, l'œil sur ma ferme, tu réglères. Car si j'aime les jeux qui font briller les yeux, fille les jeux s'ils sont dangereux.
Listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Narborn, the Human Serviette Radio Show. And you just heard a Hope Delphine there, and Regent before that, Les Fieux, with Gloria, a whole bunch of French-Canadian rock and roll from the 1960s, mixed in with a bit of Quebecois rock and roll from the 1960s, all in honor of Chris Murphy of the rock and roll band Shlone, who are actually performing today as students-only event at the University of British Columbia, because there are connections between Chris Murphy of the rock and roll band Shlone and all these French-Canadian bands, because, well, the Gruesomes, one of my favorite bands ever, that first alerted me to the importance of French-Canadian 60s rock, covered Les Lutins, and they were one of the few bands to tour through Halifax, and of course they helped form Chris Murphy's formative years, and that's perhaps why he's live here on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. And actually, who do we have in the studio today? Who are you? Please, go ahead.
Hello, I am Chris Murphy from the rock and roll combo Shlone. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. If you move a tiny bit closer to the mic, that
so
would
like
be,
this?
That would be pretty good if you could do that.
I'm into it.
And Chris, what about my little assumption there about the Gruesomes?
About them informing me or our band? Well, they were one of the few groups that came through Halifax, along with Deja Voodoo, maybe SNFU. And nobody else really. We can't. Well, the Asexuals
and Sonic Youth, of course, the classic
Sonic Youth gig
at an art college that you fully investigated. Like there was this legendary Sonic Youth gig, and everything has been documented about this gig, right?
Yes,
everything has been documented.
Yeah, Halifax brags about it all the time. I find it a little embarrassing, but I wasn't really into Sonic Youth at the time. I saw Sonic Youth on one of my pilgrimages in '87 and '88 to meet my idols from Discord Records. And I saw Sonic Youth while I was there.
Oh, you actually went to a gig?
I went to see Sonic Youth, yeah, in, whatever, 87.
But the gig that they played in Halifax was like 1982, wasn't it?
Yeah,
like some really early sort of Sonic Youth
downtown, yeah.
Danceteria type gig. And you know people that have actually been to that gig. Because I find it interesting that people have tracked this gig. You know, like how like the Ramones played and then bands would sprout out.
Yes.
People have like tracked the Sonic Youth thing. And you know people that are at that gig, don't you? Peter
Rowan,
wasn't he at that gig? But who was at that gig?
The only person that I can think of off the top of my head would be Steve Cook, and I don't know if you know who that is, but he writes for the Halifax paper, and he's a music nerd and collector, and he was in a band with Jay. when they were in high school kind of thing.
Jay Ferguson, the other member of the rock and roll band, Sloan. Maybe we should ask you to tell the names of the other and ages of the people in the rock and roll band, Sloan.
And ages.
Okay, well, maybe you don't have to do
that. No, I don't care.
I mean, because Fountains of Wayne, I mean, they're going for it, right? They're older guys, right? Are they an inspiration to you, Chris Murphy of Sloan?
Fountains of Wayne,
old guys doing rock. Old guys doing rock.
The last time we were here, by the way, I don't know, there are a lot of threads we could get into. The last time you and I were at CITR together, was it 92 or was it since?
I think, was this really the first time you've been here since 1992?
I don't know.
I know you phoned into the Nardwater Human Survey Radio Show a few times, but I'm not you'd phone into any other show that I would be part of, but could have been live from Thunderbird Radio Hell. But actually, could we just go back just a second, the Gruesomes, the influence of the Gruesomes. So that's why I played all this French-Canadian Quebecois garage rocking type stuff.
I appreciate that. You know, it wasn't like a huge influence on my life, but I definitely saw the Gruesomes a bunch of times, and they had a guy in their band named John Knoll, and then I had a good friend named John Knowles, and I think they both lived in Ottawa. I think this guy lived in Ottawa. Their drummer for the Gruesomes, is that true?
Yes, he does. He still lives there. John Jed Knoll, they called him.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was always trying to find my long-lost friend John Knoll, so I went to elementary school with in Scarborough, and I knew he was going to university in Ottawa, but then people would get him mixed up with John Knoll from the Gruesomes. But yes, I saw the Gruesomes plenty of times, and you know would have met them and said how cool they were. But
they're one of the few bands I went through, and you also had respect for No Means No. I mean, let's give some local props.
No Means No.
I mean, you're a Halifax guy. You live in Toronto now, but Halifax really has respect for No Means No for paving the, because like, not many bands toured the country, did they? Or do they still? I don't know. You don't even live there.
No Means No didn't come out until, I'm not sure what record, certainly not before Sex Mad, but like I drove up to Montreal, because a lot of times people wouldn't come, and then I'd drive to Montreal or drive to Boston or wherever to see shows, and I saw No Means No play at, I think they played at a place, I forget where they played, in Montreal, and I'm sorry, well, you wouldn't know anyway, but I saw No Means No in 1986, and it just changed my life and blew my head off. Yeah, they're the best. But then they continued to come out to Halifax, and I love them. And I played in a band called Aware.
That was your hardcore roots, right?
Yeah, but Aware only played one show. But we went on to become Spent, and we played a couple shows. But Aware, the worst name of any band ever, we opened for No Means No in, I forget, like 80.
And that was you on drums? Is that Chris Murphy on drums?
In Aware, I was on guitar. But then when we got rid of the drummer and brought in a new guitar player, and then I moved to drums.
Now, did those guys eventually metamorphosize into any other bands, or did they put out a 7-inch? Wasn't there some hardcore band that released a 7-inch in the early 90s that had some members of some bands that you've played in? Like, did any of those bands that you played in ever go on to release anything? Those early bands, those really hardcore bands. The reason I mention that is in a new Exclaim magazine, there's this back to school thing, I don't know if you read it, about the drummer from Jail, Mike, is it Jail?
Belitsky.
Yeah, Mike, about him being in a hardcore band, him being like the best drummer in town, and everybody wanting him to drum. He now drums for the Sadies, who are coming through town soon with the Leather Uppers. And the Leather Uppers also are on that garage tip, and they have some Halifax connection, because I think one of the guys in the Leather Uppers is also married to Laura Borealis, who has something to do with Sloan, I don't understand.
I used to go with Laura Borealis, and Greg Timoshenko, of the Leather Uppers, was in a band called Rhinoplasty with Charles Austin and Drew Yamada, later of the Super Friends, and Greg was going to King's College University in the late 80s, and they would play with our band, Kearney Lake Road. Jay and I we played in a band called Kearney Lake Road, and we played with this band, Rhinoplasty, who are sort of King's College type band. And Greg Timoshenko joined the Leather Uppers. He was in that band.
And Charles is in the Super Friends, now playing with Buck 65. Like, I saw him at South by Southwest.
That's right.
Do you like the way I dropped that? I saw him at South by Southwest, my first time
ever.
I actually went there and I saw him play. Actually, no, I didn't. I actually was watching the Unicorns play.
Yeah,
and he was about to get on the second stage, actually, at that time. But he was playing, actually, with Buck 65, which is interesting, because then it kind of goes to that whole other sort of thread with all these people coming out of Halifax, you know, the early Sonic Youth gig. We have the band Sandbox and Trailer Park Boys.
That's
it all
right.
goes back to that. How does that all tie together? The Sandbox and Trailer Park Boys, because that connects to Buck 65 because, you know, of the hip club groove, doesn't it? Like, there's some connection there.
I don't know about that, but Sandbox was a little bit, you know, Halifax is kind of cliquey. Like, there were kind of a couple cliques. There was sort of Murder Records gang, and then there was sort of like the Cinnamon Toast gang. And, you know, we were sort of in cahoots, but, you know, a little bit competitive, maybe. Not competitive, but just like a little bit humpy to each other. But Sandbox were from, they were like a rural, I would always make fun of them for being like a rural alternative band. And
they were on a major label, too. I remember that. They were like to sign some major label affiliate or something like that.
They had like this big song called Curious. And my friend Matt Murphy, when he was meeting them one time, were playing at the same show as them, and he was embarrassed to be talking to them and didn't know what to say. And he was like, "That's an interesting guitar. It's kind of a curious design." But he said that by accident. He was just nervous and said that by accident, and then he was really embarrassed. But Mike Smith, the guitar player for the band Sandbox, a band I didn't really get into very much, but they. But they were all pretty funny, and Mike Smith went on to be Bubbles of Trailer Park Boys.
Was he the main guy behind the Sandbox, the Bubbles guy?
I don't know who was really. I didn't really know them as a band. Like, I saw them at the, you know, at the East Coast Music Awards or something crappy like that. Like, that's where I would rub shoulders with them. We weren't playing shows with them, really.
And how about the other guys in Trailer Park Boys?
Corey, that's right. Corey Bowles is from Hip Club Groove, and Hip Club Groove is a hip hop band, and they Hip Club Groove was Corey and Derek and Brian, and Brian and Derek got poached and were in that band Len. Do you know this whole story?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, I'm not going to tell the whole story because it makes me mad, but like then the people in Len sort of got, yeah, whatever, it was just sort of a little bit of a pissing match, pardon my French Canadian garage there, but
yeah, thank you for being late, Chris. I appreciate that.
Well, you know,
because it allowed me to play all this French-Canadian rock and able to get, and also some, also non-French-Canadian, some French, actually, some French rock and roll with my terrible pronunciations of stuff. It was just awful. But hopefully people enjoy the French-Canadian content. And you provided that. Because there is kind of like a little French connection. Because that's another connection to you. Because when you first were on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show, and actually I don't often plug my own website, but if you want to check out nardwuar.com, that's NARDWUAR.com, and go to the page there, you can actually listen to our first encounter ever. And I always would ask every band from back east, speaking of French-Canadian sort of Moncton-y connections, if they'd heard of that 60s garage band, The Stone Man! And nobody had ever heard of The Stone Man until Mark Godet of Eric's Trip had heard of The Stone Man. Yeah. And through Mark Godet of Eric's Trip, I ended up meeting The Metal Queen! And The Metal Queen almost helped me interview Def Leppard, and she's been on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show quite a few times. She's in her name is Jill Grant, and she's from Moncton, and she brought Metallica to Moncton, which is amazing. She brought Metallica to Moncton.
Things.
But that's the French. Isn't Moncton kind of French Canadian?
Oh, first of all, I would say Moncton.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
And I also would say Mark Godet.
What did I say?
Well, Godet, but I think it's more correct in a way. But I think you know, they sort of anglify, a lot of the words there. But Mark, he's a good source. Are you in touch with him? He knows everything.
It's amazing. Mark is from the band Eric's Trip.
Yeah.
I think he's also an Elevator.
Yep.
And the most amazing thing about Mark, aside from discovering this legendary band, the Stone Man, out of Moncton, New Brunswick, I think only put like one record out, and it's like a totally rare 7-inch, like worth thousands and thousands of dollars. He's worked at Sam the Record Man for 25 years or more. 25 years at Sam the Record Man, and he formed his first band in 1974, too.
That's all.
Which is amazing. Purple Night. Proto-punk. Canadian proto-punk.
I love all of this because often I find that you're a little bit wrong.
What do you mean?
Well, just like in 1975, you know, it was like, you know.
Well, it's true. Purple, I am a bit wrong.
Purple or whatever. Like,
so, but how do you know that Purple Night were 1974?
Because like, I know Mark.
So you know it's 74.
Yeah, it's 74.
So you were confident to say 74.
Yeah, no, it's 74. It is 74.
Because what makes you have enough knowledge to know to judge me? I mean, just, you know, it's strange that you remember numbers too then.
Not really.
I don't remember wrong numbers.
No, but that's pretty notable. That's literally 30 years old now.
But just another person all associated with the Schlonsters, and we're speaking here live to Chris Murphy of the rock and roll band Schlon, and you are playing today at University of British Columbia here, aren't you?
Yeah.
You are playing today. Is it a student-only event?
That's what you said. That could be true. I would hate to invite someone to the event and have them not be able to come, but I would also hate to have someone at home going, hey, you know, it's such a lovely day. I'd like to go out and, attend that show. But I actually don't know what the rules are here.
And if anybody has any questions for Chris, it's 822-2487-UBCCITR. That's to go ahead to Chris Murphy from the rock and roll band Schlone. And we have a caller right now. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller, are you there? Hello.
Hello, this is Mariko, and I need to talk to Chris and Nardwar.
Hello, Mariko. This
Hi.
Is Nardwar to Human Serviette. You're on the Nardwar to Human Serviette radio show. Go ahead to Chris.
Will there be any Japanese release of Action Pack? And if so, when?
Hey,
and Japan tour? And we hate to be ignored. Also, tonight's show is limited for students, but may I please get in?
Mariko, have we met before?
I was there in a 2002 Japan tour. I followed you.
Yeah.
Working girl from Calgary.
Yes, I know who you are, and we've hugged many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love Japan, but I think our success in Japan was sort of leveling out, to say the least. I don't think we even have a label over there anymore. Like, we were on Universal for a couple records, and then we were on BMG, and now I just don't think that... we can sort of get our act together to get over there. But, basically the highlight of our touring cycle for the past 5 years has been going to Japan, and we haven't gone on this record, and it's been very disappointing.
Are you
going to
get that record released in Japan now?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how to do that. But
so you need some offers on the table. Mariko's got to generate some offers for you. Get the offers out there.
Yeah, I mean, you could get some buzz going or something, but, I don't expect anyone to be getting offers out. But, I appreciate your interest, except for, I don't want you to be upset that we're not going to Japan. It's our favorite place to go, and we're not there only because we can't.
Mariko, any other questions for Chris Murphy? Thank you for phoning in. Any other questions, Mariko?
That's all.
Well, thank you very much, Mariko, and doo-doo-da-loo-doo. And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwar to Human Serviette Radio Show. We have Chris Murphy of Schlone here live, 822-247-UBC-CITR. If you have any questions for Chris Murphy of the rock and roll band Schlone. Chris, one of the last times I talked to you on air, you were talking about boiled wool. Are you still into boiled wool, forced air, and now I hear you're into bubble letters. You're into bubble letters. What is boiled wool? What is forced air, and what are bubble letters? You're into bubble letters now.
Forced air is that which comes out of your mouth, specifically. I know you do this sort of Brian Lanahan / Brock Lanahan research on people, but boiled wool, like, is just a very esoteric thing that I think I mentioned once. But, I like boiled wool. I think it's very nice, but it has nothing to do with my life, but it was like this weird... I don't know who you ask to get that information, but I'm not...
Forced air. That's out of my mouth. What about bubble letters? You're into bubble letters now, aren't you?
No, well, that's the thing.
When you sign autographs.
I often do, yeah, like sort of cutesy bubble letter things, which drives Andrew crazy. He's just like, Chris, you have a graphic sense, and you like design and stuff, and you make these ugly bubble letters. I wish you would stop. But I do it just for fun. I don't know. I don't really have a good story on that.
Caller, are you there?
I am.
Go ahead to Chris Murphy of the rock and roll band Schlone.
Chris, I've been a fan for years, and I've never seen you live.
Well, where do you...
But I'm going to Austin.
Who are you?
I'm Kim.
Where do you live?
Here in Vancouver.
Well, I think this is the fourth time we've been here this year. We're here all the time.
I know, but I just usually it's a school night and all that kind of stuff, and I got to get up early. I'm a little older now.
But this Austin thing is going to be exciting, isn't it?
Yeah,
this Austin music.
I couldn't believe it, Nardwar. When I heard him on the phone, I go, I got to phone and tell him.
Now, what's going on with this Austin thing? There's a whole bunch of other bands, isn't there, Kim and Chris? Please explain.
Yeah. Go ahead,
it's
Kim.
It's a big, big festival.
Like, who else is playing? Who are you hoping to check out there?
Who am I hoping to check out? Ryan Adams. Soundtrack of Our Lives.
What's interesting about Ryan Adams, believe it or not, there's some Ryan Adams song about Nico Case, Canadian Connection,
and
isn't
she's there too?
I think so.
She is?
She is. Oh, yes. Wow. Oh, maybe.
No, she's asking you.
Oh,
no, she is.
She is there.
Oh, she is.
I can confirm that.
And what do you know about this festival, Chris, that Sloan are playing?
I know that it's weird that we're able to play anything like this because it sounds very A-list. I wonder why.
Well,
you are
A-list.
Well, in my...
Now, Chris, do you get mad at a caller like Kim,
no, who
has never seen you basically in Canada but is going to see you out of the country? Like, you did a tour with the Tragically Hip and you play in England and it was all Canadians going to see you in England. Does that get you mad? Like, should Kim disguise herself as not being from Vancouver when she introduces herself because she knows she's going to do that? Oh, I'm Kim from Seattle. Would that make you feel better?
No. I have no problem with the Canadian sort of expat thing. But, you know, it's nice to think that you are reaching people outside of Canada, but, you know, I don't mean to ever look the gift horse, if for lack of a better term, that is Canada, in the mouth. I have no problem with it. We meet, you know, when we go to the States, we do, you know.
But England with the Tragically Hip, that was it. That was it. That was the...
But that's
that
asking
was,
for
but that was, where am I wrong? Am I a year off on that one?
No, you're not a year off, but that's, again, like...
It was filled with Canadians.
Yes, it's a five-year-old reference. I mean, it's fine.
Okay, so there are years involved in this. Okay, I knew you'd bring me down to earth.
No,
Thank you very much, Chris.
No.
Anything else you'd like to add at all, Kim?
No, I'm just looking forward to catching their gig.
Hey, Kim, you know, we're really excited about that.
Yeah.
And we're touring on the way down and the way back, and we're playing all kinds of weird places we've never been, like Little Rock, Arkansas.
Oh,
and
wow.
Really, the only thing that's going to be good is that show, so hopefully... you will see some probably frustrated, sad people, but we're really going to try and rock it out.
How many gigs do you play before you get there?
I don't remember, maybe
no.
four,
oh,
something
okay.
like that, but it's going to be fun, and I hope you have a good time when you're there.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. There's a big group of us. I don't think there'll be a lot of Canadians down there.
Yeah, perhaps not, but yes. Don't paint your face with a flag and stuff.
I have no intention,
but
trust me.
Don't be embarrassed.
No, okay. Not at all.
All right.
Well, thank
right.
you, Kim, and doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwater Human Serviette Radio Show. And we're speaking to Chris Murphy, the rock and roll band Sloan, who is playing in Austin, Texas, coming up for our internet listeners, but immediately is playing today at the University of British Columbia. When are you on stage? And I think it's probably students only. We don't know. But
yeah.
You're playing in a couple hours, you know,
yeah.
7 p.m., 6:30.
7 or something like
7
that.
7 or 6:30 here.
I know that I came out a lot earlier than I had to.
Thank you.
So
I appreciate
on your show.
And I really appreciate that. You know, you go the extra difference. Like, you came out early to play a Paul Martin coronation. Could you please explain yourself? Chris Murphy of the rock and roll band Sloan. Paul Martin and Sloan.
We played at some party that was after Paul Martin. Was it that he became the prime minister or he became the leader of the Liberal Party?
It was the coronation.
Yeah.
It was coronation when Bono was there
yeah,
or whatever.
When Bono
like,
was
it
there.
Was kind of like Sloan or like the Fleetwood. You know, didn't Fleetwood Mac help Clinton, you know? Go your
yeah.
own way, you know what I mean? That sort of thing. Like, Sloan, were Sloan helping Paul Martin, and did you feel politicized and charged?
When we were talking about doing it, I was taking a bit of a hissy fit, saying I really didn't want to do it, but then I kind of didn't care after a while, and I was told, we were told that it wasn't going to be, there was going to be no publicity, and people wouldn't, we wouldn't have our names tied into this, you know, this thing,
But sure enough, you type in the search engine in Google, and it's like Paul Martin and Sloan comes
no,
right
know.
Up.
And I also read about it, too, and I was mad. But I kind of don't care because, like, Paul Martin, I have no feeling about him. He seems like an uncharismatic kind of dork. But, you know, but Jack Layton, who I voted for Olivia Chow in my writing, and she lost. But he seems like a dork, too, a little bit.
No,
did
he jam with the Constantines or something in
yeah.
Toronto? Like, there was some rock and roll
yeah,
involved
did,
with them?
He did your little tagline there.
Keep on rocking in the free
yeah.
world. The Constantines, sub-pop rockers.
My friend Peter Elkis, formerly of the Local Rabbits, and now putting out his own record called Party of One, he said he described Jack Layton as having a lot of vibrato, and he would hold the note way too long, and like he would say, "Keep on rocking in the free world."
Remember they had that thing on the internet where all the leaders listed their favorite songs?
Yeah.
And Stephen Harper's songs were the most popular because he put AC/DC there. And
yeah.
you were saying if I had a chance to speak to Stephen Harper, that I should ask him about Sinking the Pink. that was an obscure AC/DC one
Sync
to see if he
pink.
Was into it, right?
Sync the Pink.
Like, he didn't probably know about Sync in the Pink. So I'm off there again.
A little bit.
How many years?
It's just always kind of adorable how, like, I'm surprised you said Paul Martin and not, like, Paul Murphy, the Prime Minister or whatever.
Okay, well, Chris Murphy, tell me more about Kiss, Krupa, and Chetacamp. Kiss, Krupa, and Chetacamp. How wrong am I on that?
Do you want me to...
Kiss, of course, is you meeting Paul Stanley.
Okay, yeah, that happened. I can turn that into a half an hour story, or not. I met Paul Stanley, you're right. Do you want me to...
Anything happened since then? Like, you met with Paul Stanley, have you had any contact since? What's your feelings towards Kiss since then? Because you love to Kiss, and people bring you vintage Kiss shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I just got sent from Japan by my friend Mika Ueno. She sent me a Kiss... it was a Japanese program that they videoed Kiss at Budokan in 1977, it aired on NHK or whatever, the Japanese TV, and she just sent me that DVD, and I have it right here with me, actually, if you want to watch a little bit of it. I have it, I watch it on my computer. And I met Paul Stanley, and he was kind of a dork, and if we run out of time, if we're...
Krupa! Now you're into Krupa!
Buddy Rich?
Okay, there you go. Buddy Rich, yes.
Buddy Rich, when you were staying at my house, you're welcome, by the way, and you're welcome in advance for when you stay later in the month. But you and I watched the Buddy Rich video, but he did do a drum battle with Gene Krupa, and that was very, very interesting.
Go ahead.
We watched that for the first time the day that we played that horrendous Paul Martin thingamabobber. We watched that. We sat in the basement. We didn't really play the party like Fleetwood Mac at Clinton's thing. We played some after thing. Paul Martin came and said a few words, and then
into your mic.
Yep.
I never knew that.
And then he left. And then he was gone. And it was weird. He kind of waded out into the crowd, almost falling in like. What's his name? What's the guy with the kind of lame arm who lost the election to,
the drummer of Def Leppard?
No, but, that guy, not Walter Mondale, like the next kind of Mondale character in the States.
Bob Dole?
Bob Dole, yeah. Remember he sort of fell?
He hurt his arm in Nam. Don't you diss the veterans!
Anyway, that's where I first saw that Buddy Rich thing, and Andrew's into it. But it's funny... Because Gene Krupa is Peter Criss's favorite drummer from Kiss. And I thought you were trying to make that connection, and I thought that was insane that you knew that Gene Krupa was Peter Criss's favorite drummer, but you didn't know that.
Well, what I did want to get into was this Rush. Have you been defending Rush lately? Because a lot of people are bringing Rush down, and of course...
Who the hell did that?
Well, I don't know. I've read that you guys are defending Rush. Like, when you're on tour, people go, Rush suck, and you really defend the Rush.
For
you,
sure.
Not just you, but other members of your... Isn't Patrick really...
Patrick is
really into defending Rush.
Yeah.
And, like, didn't you have, like, a run-in with the Strokes, something about music and stuff like that? Like, you're like, Rush sucks, and you're like, no, Rush is the best. Turn down that Cyndi Lauper.
We did have a fight with the Strokes about Cyndi Lauper, or they were playing pool, and they were surrounded by these young girls, and they're playing Cyndi Lauper, and Patrick said to one of them, why don't you turn this shit off? Oh, pardon me. Why don't you turn this off and like put on AC/DC or something that people actually want to hear? And then he didn't know what to do, and at one point there was some Cyndi Lauper song on. And then Julian yells over, like, skip this one. And the next one was a different Cyndi Lauper song. He's like, okay, yeah, that's cool.
Chetacamp. The band Chetacamp.
Yeah.
They wore those things on their head. What is Chetacamp?
They wore what on their
head? I don't know. I thought they had some sort of thing on their head.
Oh, you know who did that was a different band.
The Pumons.
No, they're from Windsor. But the band that wore the stuff on their heads was Kevin Lewis and Mike Lewis. And they were called, what were they called? Two Moncton Boys, and I forget, they were called, I want to say, because you know who else did that, was the Ripcords, I think they used to wear, or one of the guys used to wear that, but I can't think of their name right now, but Chetacamp is Mike Bolitsky, your buddy from the Sadies.
Oh, really?
And
I did not know
that. That was his band, and he was playing guitar, and he was the guitar player in that band, and they did a single, at least, I think they did a whole record, too, I think they did a single, like, on Cinnamon Toast or something, but it was Mike... Belitsky and his first wife, her name was Io Perry. She's from Toronto, but she lives in LA, and she's in a band called the Green and Yellow TV. Have you ever heard of this band?
No, but he lived in New York for a bit, didn't he? Didn't he do some drumming? Wasn't he in the band with her?
Shedicamp.
That was the band. Wasn't there some other band he had in New York before he did some Sadieing?
Shedicamp.
There was no other band.
He played in some other bands, but like he still plays, I believe, in, maybe he doesn't anymore, but the Pernice Brothers. Do you know this band?
Yes, I have heard of them before. Chris Murphy of the rock and roll band Sloan. And if anybody has any questions, winding up here with Chris Murphy from the rock and roll band Sloan.
Are we winding up?
822-2487-UBC-CITR to speak to Chris Murphy at rock and roll band Sloan, who recently put on quite a big gig at Olympic Island in Toronto. It was a giant gig. You're kind of little Lollapalooza, and you daringly opened with... you opened with Underwhelmed. Yeah. Like, that is something you haven't done in a long time.
Yeah, but we had to, we were playing in front of a lot of groups that were, like, super cool and popular, and, you know, and we were playing last at an all-day festival, so we figured we had to lead strong. And also, Nardwuar, the only place that song, Underwhelmed, from our first record, was ever really played and supported was at... CFNY in Toronto.
Now that song could have got bigger. It was pretty big.
No, it wasn't.
But how close was it to almost getting big? Wasn't it like almost going to get big when the A&R guy got dropped? Like, how close was Underwhelmed to get? I mean, it still was huge. How many albums did that album ship?
It sold about 40,000 or something. It originally
worldwide?
It eventually went gold. So I think it sold about 40,000 in Canada originally, and then about 40,000 in the States.
I mean, that's pretty damn good. 40,000 States, but you almost got it even bigger. Even bigger. That would be good for most bands. You know, the Underwhelmed sort of modern rock, Jabberjaw, Steve Albini, $1,000 a night type thing for all you Internet Sloan fans. Go check that out there. But how close were you? Like, you were close, weren't you?
We were, we were being groomed to be, we were on Underwhelmed. It was... I think it got played a couple times on MTV, and I know that my friend Henry Rollins introduced it on MTV one time. It was on 120 Minutes. I think it was on twice or something, Underwhelmed. And
has there been any other Sloan videos on 120 Minutes since then? Like, was that the closest you ever got?
Maybe The Good and Everyone as well, I think, was on 120 Minutes.
Was that close to breaking big, or was Underwhelmed the only one? Like, you have one shot, like Eminem says. Was that your one shot in, like, for the United States of America? I know there's other things to get into, but was that the closest it's been? Because you think Good and Everyone might have had a shot a few years later.
Yeah. Well, on the first record, the A&R guy, that's right. You know the whole story, and you want me to just tell the whole story. But
just
how much
briefly.
Time do we have?
Well, no, go ahead. Just briefly.
Well, we Underwhelmed was doing well. It was played once or twice on MTV, but on all the other video stations in the U.S., it was number one. Do you want me to keep talking? I'm just talking to whoever. He's left. He's out of here. He's not even listening. But I'm telling the listeners, I guess, that he's probably gone to get Thor or something, like some surprise, foolish thing. You know, the thing about Nardwuar, now that he's not here, like, he's really kind of a sweet guy. And when he's not on the air, like, he's really, like, he has a really low voice. No, that's not true. But anyway, we were close to being big. I don't know what story he wants me to tell. But hey, he's back. How's it going?
What were you doing when I was gone?
I don't know. I was just telling all
you. Did you did you finish the story?
I didn't really know.
Come on!
I was embarrassed. Who am I talking to?
Well, you're talking to the listeners.
The listener?
Yeah! 822-2487 UBCCI. What happened?
Well, yeah, so anyway, it was close to happening for us, but then there was a big change-up at Geffen, and we sort of went,
Who made it at that point? Like, for instance, they chose not Sloan, they chose somebody else. Like, did somebody arise from that? Was that Weezer?
Eventually Weezer, but we were sort of being screwed before Weezer were being groomed. Weezer was signed after us by the same person who signed us, and they too were going to go into the toilet the way we did, but they had a real strong support at a Seattle radio station and started playing that song. The sweater song, yeah. And they were calling Geffen saying, what's the single? And they said, I don't know, you tell us. And they told them. And so that was an example. That was an example of a sort of an organic thing. Instead of just someone pouring millions of dollars into something, it's like a radio station was calling, basically begging for them to work something. So that was nice.
So Weezer survived that.
Yeah.
You kind of suffered as a result.
We had a guy at
the metal guy.
Well, yes, but we had another guy. The guy at radio was really, really loved us. And then Gary Gersh, who was a big A&R guy there, he quit. And the person who inherited all of his bands to become their A&R person or their sort of like cheerleader, product manager style guy, he left radio and he was sort of helping us with our plan. And that plan was sort of abandoned and his replacement really didn't like our band.
Olympic Island, Chris Murphy of the rock and roll band Sloan, this giant gig that you put on there. Were the organizers happy with the bands you selected? Like, for instance, you got Sam Roberts to play. Would have you been enough, Sloan? Like, what were they asking for? They were like, Chris Murphy of the band Sloan, we would like to have, well, it's good you got Sam Roberts, because if you didn't have Sam Roberts, you would have had to have the Trues headline. Like, was there something that they wanted you to pick to be part of this?
Well,
you know what I mean? Because this was your festival, so I know it's your festival, but still, there must have been some pressure, you know?
Yes, there was pressure. And with Sam, we felt that having Sam Roberts, we felt, as much as Jay sort of is responsible for putting a lot of it together, I think it mightn't have worked without Sam Roberts because he was, you know, he's such a...
Okay, so you had him, and it worked out.
Yeah, we had him. So
if he wasn't going to do it, who were they pushing for? Was there any other talk of anybody?
I don't know what would have happened without him, but there was, as we sort of were picking bands, we were sort of like leaving spaces open just in case, you know, it was dying, and then we would have to get some heavy hitters in. I was really hoping that we would sell out right away or something, and then we could just pick the most, you know, obscure bands of all time. Like, I have friends in a group called Pony DeLuke, who are worth nothing. And
Catherine Stockhausen.
Catherine Stockhausen.
If she's still in the band.
She is, yeah. Okay. And you know, they have no agent, and you know, no one was pushing for them. Like, there was definitely agent pressure, of people saying, you know, take these guys, and it was, you know, there's sort of like an agent mafioso sort of style.
Was the band Pilot on there? Aren't they playing today too?
I think they are playing today, and they were on that show.
So for a band like that, you had Death from Above play, but they had to go first. Do they always have to go first because Pilot are more popular, or the agent thinks they're more popular? I mean, did you get involved in a lot of politics to get you out of the sticky situation here, Chris? Did you have to play a lot of politics
Jay
to get this thing done?
I told Jay that I would back him up, whatever he wanted to do, and we talked about things. We talked about groups that were added to the bill.
Did you tell it would be a success right off the bat, like from ticket sales, or were you scared?
No. We weren't scared, but we felt with Sam Roberts that it was going to be okay. And, you know, adding Death from Above was just basically a credibility thing. It's not like, I don't think they necessarily brought in tons of people. They probably brought in cool people, whereas we don't necessarily bring in the cool people anymore because people who go to, because we're so crossed over that, like, the cool people don't come to our show necessarily anymore.
Well, speaking of cool people coming to your show, Chris Murphy of the rock and roll band Sloan, you recently went on tour with Jet. Now, how unbelievable was it to you that people were coming up to you and saying, I've seen you for the first time. Like, this is the first time I've ever seen you. I don't know if anybody did that, but I think people did, didn't they? Like, you opened for Jet, where you haven't done extensive USA touring, but still, that's pretty, must be pretty incredible, eh?
Well, we have people in Canada who don't know who we are. Sometimes, you know, around the time of one chord to another, you know, this is like 96, 97, and even 98, when I would hear that people didn't know who we were, I would be kind of shocked. I'd be like, I can't believe you don't know who we are. Everybody knows who we are. Like, you don't have to like us, but, like, we're so overexposed. Everybody in the world knows who we are. And now I've come to sort of accept that there's not that many people who actually know who we are. Like, I mean,
But on that tour, I remember once the Smugglers were once told by Mike Lavella from Gearhead Records that if you guys, like, were younger and lost weight and prettier, you'd be the Hives. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did anybody say, well, you're amazing, I've never seen you before. If you were younger, you'd be huge.
Yeah, but, like, a group like the Smugglers, like, Grant Lawrence, he's sort of, like, lacking, like, he has no charisma, I find. So it's different than...
Okay, moving away from that. What I'm saying,
I love Grant.
You're touring with the band Jet. MTV comes to interview Jet or whatever, all this press.
Yeah.
How hard would it be to hook them on you guys? I mean, people in Canada probably are going like, well, you're already popular. But I mean, was it hard for, you know, like, you know, Jet going, come on, Chris, step in, you know, like...
I don't mean to sort of ride on their thing. They were very good to us, and they spoke highly of us in every opportunity they got, and... we owe them big time, and we played to a lot of people, and there are quite a few people in the United States especially who do not know who we are, and we played a lot in the South, and we never play there.
No, did they ever
we had never played in New Orleans.
Did they ever walk to the merch table, these new Sloan fans, and go, hey, Chris, you're selling the merch here, which CD should I buy?
Yes,
and
every
did you ever go, okay, get the greatest hits, because that's everything, and not the new one?
Well, we don't have a greatest hits.
Well, you know, that live thing.
Yeah, no, we don't. We're not trying to push
Or did
that.
You go, got the one with dun, dun, nah, nah, nah. You know, I mean, did you push them towards the ones that maybe had more exposure in Canada?
No. We were pushing them towards the new record because we were trying to sell as many of that as we could.
You're pushing them towards the new. Did that hurt you to push them to the new record? I mean,
not to say
that the new record is not up there with the other records because it's Tom Rothcocked.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know what I mean? Like, because a lot of the hits you play. Well, I don't know. You did.
We did across the board. I think though is like we don't have a major in the States. We're on just like a small label called Koch, Tom Rothcocked, and So, you know, every new record we sell, Koch sees this, and then they say, oh, people are buying the Sloan records. We should, you know, put more money into them.
Well, thank you very much, Chris, for coming into the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. I really appreciate it. And I was just going to leave with, you know, people talking about opening experiences and stuff like that. Well, you talking about opening experiences.
Opening, that's
opening
right,
experiences.
Yeah.
Playing with Spinal Tap. That was the worst, wasn't it? When you got played with Spinal Tap in Newfoundland.
No, that was pretty good.
But that was pretty rough. That's almost Spinal Tap-ish saying that, isn't it? Opening for Spinal Tap in Newfoundland.
I enjoy saying it, but I don't have a
problem. That was rough. I mean, so like these Sloan, for the Jet gigs, none of them were rough, were they?
No, everything about Jet was good. I hate opening, but this has changed my mind because I think we did some good for ourselves. I usually think that we screw it up. We've opened for Beck and people like that, and we always suck.
But this was a lot better.
This was great.
Did people know all the Jet songs? But I guess that's the advantage because they come to see Jet because they've heard a few hits. They don't know the other songs, and so if you can just do a couple good songs, they might remember you. Is that kind of what it is?
That's
it's
right.
It's one-hit wonders.
I feel that when people are coming to see brand new bands, then they're pretty just open to be into whatever, as opposed to you're coming to see Beck because you've loved him for 10 years. But you know, going to see Jet, it's like they're just people who are into music. Who are you looking at?
The CITR News Team coming up right now on CITR FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Thank you very much to Chris Murphy. Thank you very much to Chris Murphy for coming into the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. I do appreciate it. And you are playing today, for people listening, you're playing live here today
at
the University of British Columbia, probably like 6:30 or 7 o'clock here.
I think it's after 7. Yeah.
Sloan are playing in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Yeah. And right now we're going to end with Little Lord. Little Lord is like a young guy singing. Are you into young people singing? Like a very young guy singing. What do you think? That.
So.
Have you had any young people singing? Like, have you ever met any young people singing? Have any bands ever opened for you to have been, like, super, super young, like Hanson Young?
I don't think so.
This is Little Lord from Germany in the 1960s. Well, thanks so much, Chris. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
I thought we were going to play something from this Discord box set.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. Maybe you can phone in another week and we can finish off part two of the Nardwuar Human Serviette versus Chris Murphy encounter.
I'll phone in anytime. I'll be your Tony Randall character.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
A-doot-doot.
Swinging, have a suis une taille.